Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin right here on a numbers game. Still to come, Cleve T.A. on the National Football League, as well as Jason Weingarten. And we will talk a little later on. We have Cleve. I want to get this one tweet before we get to Cleve here.
Sure.
Ronnie Rojo asks, he goes, any thoughts on the Pro Corps Championship in Napa this week from you?
Yeah, I don't know if that was directed at me, but yeah. This is lightly bet event for me this week. You will see I'll be involved in these fall series events. There's eight of them. There are qualification points on the line basically for the PGA Tour season, which now starts. We are kind of in the first year where we're doing this full calendar year PGA Tour season. So how this is going to work, once the Tour Championship ends, then you'll have this fall series where it's eight events, allows guys to still build up points to try to move up into the FedEx Cup standings, into events, into signature events, especially the first two signature events for next year. So you'll see. You're never going to see great fields at any of these, Gil, but this is one of the ones where you will have a little bit better field, especially with the President's Cup coming up. So a few big names playing in this one. So just a few outrights for me here. This is a resort course. Guys go low. You see a lot of birdies. Winning score is going to be around 20 under. So you mentioned J.J. Spahn. I'm on J.J. Spahn. Great approach numbers. I do think this is one of the last tournaments that you can use some of your summer data from in recent form looking at that. So Heath the Gala 12-1, not 2-1 if you are watching at home. So yeah, I am pulling still some of my recent data for this tournament. So J.J. Spahn, one name, the next name, not going to surprise anybody. Well, when you gotta drive the ball straight and long off the tee and you need good approach and then the greens are very tough to putt on, you bet Keith Mitchell.
Wow,
Keith Mitchell, 40-1 back on the card. And then Rico Hoey, my last one, 80-1. Guy who's been was playing really well during the summer. We'll see if he can keep it going during the fall. He'll probably be playing in a lot of these events during the fall.
All right. He is probably one of the finest minds. I'll say the finest. He won't accept this sort of compliment for me, but he's certainly one of the finest minds on gambling Twitter when it comes to the NFL. You can follow him on Twitter at CleveTA. That's CLEVTA. Comes on the Megapod about once a year. We have him on the show from time to time as well. He was kind enough to join us this offseason for some NFL preview thoughts. It's CleveTA now from Cleveland, Ohio, where, of course, he is a big Brownies fan. How you doing, Cleve?
Oh, man, don't put that on me already after last week. That's a tough one.
Well, let's start there. Where do you stand? Because we've gotten questions, as I'm sure everybody has, about is this the end? Are we approaching the end for Deshaun Watson? Can you read into one performance against what is considered a very good Cowboys defense? Where do you stand on the Browns?
Yeah, I just don't know. I mean, going into this year, he probably had the widest range of outcomes, I think, of any quarterback in the NFL, just because we've seen him be elite and we've seen him be really bad in the last couple of years. So, you know, none of it really would shock me. And so week one was not a total stunner, especially considering he didn't play a single preseason snap. He was down to his third left tackle against a really good pass rush. I mean, Micah Parsons was just wrecking that game. It's a brand new offensive system with Ken Dorsey at offensive coordinator. So, you know, there's a lot of headwinds here, and he's obviously coming off of the injury. So the fact that he really struggled didn't surprise me. I actually had an under in that game. I tossed the CLV in the toilet. I had under 43. I think I closed 41, and I was pushing until that last meaningless touchdown at the end. But so I thought that there would be some rust and that he would struggle. You know, he probably looked worse than you would imagine, but, you know, it wasn't a total stunner. I mean, he did, for whatever it's worth, in the fourth quarter. Yeah, the Cowboys called off the dogs, but they still had their starters in there. Did make a couple of really nice throws. I think he had four drops amongst his wide receivers. Amari Cooper dropped an easy touchdown. It was actually a great throw. He got hit as he delivered the ball about 40 yards down the field. It was one of the better throws he's had as a Brown, to be honest, and Cooper just dropped it. So, you know, there were a couple of bright spots, but not many overall. And, you know, you don't want to totally put your head in the sand, but, you know, I think we have to give it a little bit more time than just completely write them off after week one.
Yeah, especially with the contract, right? The contract makes it almost completely prohibitive for them to move on, doesn't it? Like, you can't admit that mistake and then eat all that dead cap money.
No, I mean, you can't. I mean, cutting him makes no sense. You could, but the way the Browns have, and again, there's capologists out there who are much smarter than me on this. But my understanding is, it's the way that the Browns have, you know, put this contract together, and the way they've built this roster, and they've pushed a lot of the, his money into the back, and so in future years where the cap keeps going up. So it's actually, you know, it's like an interest-free credit card, right? Like, you, if your salary increases, and you don't have to pay interest on it, you'd rather just pay, you know, your credit card off when you have more money. And it's kind of the same concept that the way the Browns have set up their contract. So it's going to hurt, obviously, if they cut them, you know, in a year or two, or even just make them a backup. But it's not as bad as it could be as if it was today, and just the way they've structured it. So, you know, it's one of those things that we've seen teams like Denver has done it with Russell Wilson. We saw the Eagles do it with Carson Wentz. We've seen, you know, Atlanta do it, Matt Ryan. Like, teams have done it. Like, to this extent, it's probably, you know, not as large, but it's happened. So I still think that they're going to do everything they can to try to see this thing through. And, you know, we'll see what happens here. But it doesn't, if he continues on this track, he's either just going to be the highest paid backup who's ever played in sports, or they're going to have to figure out something. But that would not be the ideal scenario.
All right. Well, thank you for amusing me with the Cleveland Browns portion of this. I know that was difficult for you. I'll ask of you what I asked of Drew Dinsick a couple days. The first question I asked of him, which is, all right, we have 1 week. No one wants to overreact. But did you see anything in week one that doesn't necessarily completely change your thinking, but at least you filed away and you're like, okay, I should probably keep an eye on this?
Well, you know, obviously the Carolina thing was, I was one of the many who are on Carolina just hoping that, you know, they could show some signs of life. And that was really disappointing. I mean, it was right off the bat too. The game was over just in the first two drives.
So bad.
And, you know, I wasn't picking them to, you know, make the playoffs or anything. I think I had them as 5 wins in my preview, but, you know, I thought they could at least be frisky and come out of the gate, you know, competitive. And just to completely, you know, throw a dud like that out there was really disappointing. But otherwise, I think the one thing that really took away, and Gil, you'll appreciate this, is I forgot how bad Cliff Kingsbury is as an offensive coach.
Dude.
I mean, I was on Washington. I'm a fader of Tampa generally this year. And I just thought that Jaden Daniels had some real upside. You know, no one's seen him before. I thought, you know, he looked good in preseason. His legs, I mean, he was awesome running the ball. And I think he could have moved the ball down the field a little bit more. They did move the ball on occasion. They missed 2 field goals. Obviously, Dan Quinn settling for field goals, like, when, you know, that's obvious. But just Cliff Kingsbury just had him throw horizontally. That's what he did with Kyler Murray in Arizona, and he was doing the same thing here. Like, I think he threw 2 or 3 balls down the field, and that was it. He had time to throw. He had opportunities if they wanted to try, and they just never did. And it just goes to show you, like, Cliff Kingsbury is just the same old guy. So if Daniels plays well and they do score some points, it's probably, you know, not due to anything Kingsbury is doing, just to the talent. But, you know, that's something I'm thinking about going forward, is just I don't think that Cliff can really adjust here. And you're not going to get the best of Washington's offense here going forward.
Yeah. How I like to say with Cliff Kingsbury is he's the guy that managed to make Patrick Holmes not apparent to be the number one pick of the draft, right? Like, when he was at Texas Tech, the fact that we were sort of taken off the scent of Patrick Mahomes, yeah, not to mention Kyler Murray and so on and so forth. Okay. Were you, let me just sort of lead on with something to week one before we get to week two. Were you at all shocked by the Jets against the Niners? I know it's the Niners. I know the Niners are great. I know you were a Brock Purdy guy last year, as I was. But while the Jets looked good at the very first couple drives on defense, if not on offense, they had the one drive where they kept getting the third down conversions to Garrett Wilson. But after that, were you alarmed by the fact that they just seemed to have no answers whatsoever?
You know, so I was on the Niners. It was a bet I made at 3.5. It was a contest play for me. I didn't understand all the Jets love. Like, you have a 40-year-old quarterback off a torn Achilles. You know, the Achilles stuff, but it's a 40-year-old quarterback on its own, coming off of an Achilles with brand new teammates, hasn't played in 2 years against that defense. Like, it just, to me, I like the Jets this year. that was not the spot to take them. Like, to me, that was just a horrible position. So, and defensively, you know, you lose Bryce Huff in the offseason, you lose John Franklin Myers, you don't have Hassan Reddick, so your pass rush takes a hit, and that was the strength of your defense. So I just felt like there was a lot of headwinds here for the Jets, and I didn't think that these teams were within 4 points for that to occur. So it didn't surprise me, just because, and I actually had an alt San Francisco minus 12 and a half at like plus 330. So I did see some outlier upside for the Niners. So that didn't surprise me at all. I will say, just getting completely pushed around, I thought Jordan Mason looked awesome. He looked like Marion Barber a little bit, right?
Yes.
Like
just same breaking number.
Yeah. You know, maybe it's number 24, yeah. Maybe because he got the dreads, but just he's a hammer. He's tough to bring down. And maybe the Jets were just planning on, stopping Christian McCaffrey, and it was a totally, totally different mindset defensively. I don't know. But, you know, this defense has struggled of late, even back to the Browns game at the end of last year with Joe Flacco. They torched that defense. So I don't know if there's something underlying that we're missing here defensively. But this is extended into to Monday night. So that is something I'm definitely keeping an eye on, and a little bit of alarming is just how much they got pushed around defensively. I'll say Aaron Rodgers looked okay. Like, I thought he was fine. They just didn't. He didn't move, just like Kirk Cousins. Like they were stuck in the pocket, as you'd expect. And you know, they didn't really try to throw the ball a lot. There's a lot of first and second down runs, putting them in third and long situations, which is not something you want to do. But that's Hackett, I guess. I don't know. Oh. I mean, I'm not sure. Are they gonna you know, let him throw the ball more on first downs, or are they just trying to ease him in? I'm not sure. But you know, that was I think alarming on for the offensive side as well.
TA, we'll come back. We'll talk all things Week 2, all of your bets that you're making. It's a numbers game right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game, it's Gil Alexander live from Circa Cleve, TA. Kind enough to hang with us for a second segment this morning. I should probably spell that. It's C-L-E-V-T-A, not with the E after the Cleve. So it actually spells Clev TA, but we say Cleve TA because he's from Cleveland. CleveAnalytics.com, also C-L-E-V, joins us right now again, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You and I were texting a few weeks ago. I was going away for the weekend. You were coming in, and you did sign up for both Millions and Survivor?
Yeah, so I signed up for two Survivors and one Millions on my own. And then I've got a couple partners that we did. We do 1 Millions as partners every single year. And for the first time, they wanted to do Survivor, so we added two group Survivors. So I got four Survivors and then 2 Millions total.
How'd you do in Millions first week?
Went 3-2. So the Niners saved me on Monday night. So went 3-2 and then survived with three of my four entries in Survivor.
The Bengals being the fourth, one would surmise.
Yeah. So so my two personal ones, I did not use Cincinnati. I didn't feel comfortable, just especially considering what the national pick percentages that were out there were, you know, about 40%. I thought it was too many, and they have future value. So I passed, but my, one of the, partners wanted to use two Cincinnati's. I refused. I told them that they can have their money back if that was the case. So we just used one on Cincinnati, and then we used, Seattle and the other one. And then for me, I used Seattle and Minnesota as my two, Minnesota off the board. But you know, again, if you read my preview, that was a team that I've loved as a sleeper. I loved the week one, love KOC, all those sorts of things. So thought that was one off the board that I could take a little shot with. So got three left.
You and I were talking off air about this. So you have a Survivor optimizer tool that is available to folks?
Yeah, so I've as part of the package on my website, which we have also called a one-stop shop for degenerates. I do kind of pick 'em pool analysis, and I also do Survivor analysis. I've, you know, kind of written up here are the different options and considerations, kind of, you know, map out a season. And for the first time in the off season, we created this optimizer tool, which others have out there, but you know, this did was just take the win probabilities for all the teams. We've got look ahead lines, so we know what the win probabilities are, and you know, let the algorithm figure out what the optimizer, you know, what the ideal path is for your specific pool to make it all the way through. And you know, we broke it down by, if you're in the Circa Survivor pool, obviously that has very specific rules and you know, rules that you don't get anywhere else in terms of Thanksgiving and Christmas being their own week. So it's a 20-week season, if you will. And that has a different outcome than if you're just in a normal, regular pool with a lot of people, or if you're in a small pool where you probably just want to optimize for about three quarters of the season. I think we have the first 12 weeks are optimized, because that's likely to end much earlier than week 18. So depending on the type of pool you're in, you can click on that and then you pick what teams you've used, and it will give you, just purely on win probability, nothing alone, the ideal path. And so last week I had Seattle as a top play because Cincinnati, once the Higgins was out and Chase was hurt, that line dropped to 7.5. The win probability dropped and Seattle leapt up the board in terms of the top option. So that is available. I also do I write up all the different options and consider the tool, but also, you know, there are other considerations, game theory, you know, who else has got what left, and, you know, mm-hmm. what the national pick percentages look like. You know, you don't want to go with the masses when it's a complete outlier, you know, 30-40% plus. So you got a lot of things to consider. So that's all up there.
Oh, that is outstanding. Just hearing that. Quickest way for people to go is to go to CleveTA on Twitter or CleveAnalytics.com.
Yeah, just go to CleveAnalytics.com. Okay. And there's a subscription button and you'll see the different options. There's one that's just, if you just want pool analysis, you got that. If you don't want anything else from me, no problem. And then there's one that's kind of all encompassing, like full season. I write up every single game. I have a dashboard with stats and analysis. I have tools. I have all those sorts of things that you can get up there. So it's depending on whatever you want to need, you know, whatever your needs are, that the options are there.
All right. Week two in the National Football League. I'm always curious when you react to stuff that I say on the show, because you always have a unique perspective on it, because you chimed in on the Green Bay Indianapolis line, which I talked about yesterday on the show. Feel free to talk about that or whatever else, whatever other games you feel strongly about and that you've bet this week.
Yeah, you know, so the Green Bay line is so fascinating because we always talk about the drop off from, you know, the starting quarterback to the backup, and it all depends on who the starter is. It also depends on how bad or how good the backup is and all those sorts of things. And then obviously cutting through key numbers, so it's not apples to apples in terms of the gap in point spread. So I know there's a lot of talk. I know you were talking about, you know, 8 points between the look ahead line, I think it was -5 for Green Bay, and then, you know, this reopened 3.5.
Yeah.
And you thought that was a little bit much. And I, you know, I totally understand. I think I'm not sure we can quantify how bad Malik Willis is. I mean, if you look at since 2022, he is the worst EPA per dropback of any quarterback in the NFL with at least 100 dropbacks. So you're talking about the worst quarterback in the NFL, you know, walking the planet right now from a starter perspective. And so it's really hard to quantify just how bad he is and what the drop off is, and the fact that he's only been in the system for 2 weeks. It's not like he was there all off season. So, you know, I do think there is some merit. And then also the fact that we have, in order to say that the line is dropping too much, we have to also put faith that the 5 was a good look ahead, which I don't think it was.
I like that point.
I think, yeah. I personally had this more as a 3.5. So the drop off doesn't look to be as bad if you look at it that way. So there are different factors and everyone has different views on it, but I think it's a really interesting game. The fact that Indy has, you know, just lost Juju Brents, their top corner, really is a big deal. You know, so maybe the defense takes a hit, but yeah, I do think this number is justified right here.
Yeah. Well, I guess 3, just to clarify, I guessed on Monday, I guess that the Colts would be 3-point favorites. I was just getting a little weird with it if it got above that, but all your points are well taken. What is your favorite bet this weekend?
Yes, I hate to do this because my favorite bet, the line is gone, and I think you're on it too. I have Detroit -6.
Yeah,
it's up to 7.
Yeah,
I might have been part of the reason why it moved right after I was on it. But what, you know, I think others had the same thought with the cluster injuries in the secondary. I'm not, again, as I mentioned earlier, I'm a fader of Tampa generally, and you know Baker was great, but a lot of that, if you watch that game, and I'm sure Gil, you did as a Washington fan. I mean, how many times on third down did he break tackles, break contain? And then found guys down the field. It was atrocious on that Washington defense. You get obviously a much better fight out of this Lions defense. I thought played relatively well, you know, the young secondary, but I thought they were okay. They put a ton of pressure on Stafford and that backup offensive line, but it's really about, you know, Jared Goff and this offense, I think, are going to put it to this poor secondary. that are just, I mean, they're missing everybody. And I mean, Goff lit up the secondary twice. That was fully healthy. It had Carlton Davis last year, two games that he generated EPA and success rates above his season long averages. So I think they're going to be able to name their score. And it's just a matter of the defense kind of holding serve here. So seven's probably a little rich, but I definitely think it's justified if it does drop down below seven.
I think Dr. Bob, our friend, I think sometime Monday afternoon also put out the Lions as one of his favorite. I want to say it was 6.5 when he put it out, though, to your point. All right. What else? Week two. What else do you like?
Yeah, I'll be honest. That's the only one I bet, which is interesting. I'm taking less and less early week. You know, based on my results, even with great CLV the last couple of years, I've struggled for whatever reason. I'm getting great numbers and they're not producing. So I'm taking my time a little bit more, looking at waiting for Wednesday injury reports. But okay, a couple games I'm eyeing that I'm strongly considering. My Browns at 3.5. I think that the line's gone too far. I mean, look ahead was one. This is pretty egregious with no injuries on the Browns. The Jags, I mean, they lost. Yeah, they played tough against Miami, but I don't see any reason why that line should be over 3. So that's probably one I'll hit. My Vikings, I'm backing them again. Like, I have no problems. This is a good team. I really think that people are sleeping on them. I'm going to continue to back them until the market corrects itself. I think 6, you can find some 6.5s against San Francisco off a short week. Playing 1:00. That's a tough spot. I have no problems taking Minnesota there. Brian Flores confused Purdy last year. I can see it happening again, at least enough to keep this game competitive. And then the third one I'm looking at that, again, I haven't pulled the trigger, the Giants. I'm so soured on that coaching staff for Washington and what I saw last week.
So bad.
I can't justify Washington being favored over anybody right now. So that's probably the third one that I would I'm likely to take.
Yeah, that's the one I definitely reconsidered after guessing lines. Because I thought it was like, oh, how are they less than 3? I'm like, yeah, what I watched was less than 3. All right, real quick, last 30 seconds, TA. I would be remiss if I didn't go back to Survivor and ask you, what do you think for week two in Survivor?
Yeah, so this is not a cop out. We have not run our numbers yet for the analysis because we wait till Wednesday at noon to get all the updated look aheads and spreads, because we want to incorporate as much into that as possible. And we will update if there are significant moves like the Bengals last week. So I will just say, like, I think Houston is definitely a strong possibility. I will promise you this. I will not take Baltimore with either of my two picks. Maybe one of my partners will want that. If you map out going forward, look at week 6 and week 9 in particular and tell me how you take Baltimore now, considering who is also playing, who's also a consideration, especially in week 9 and plays on Thanksgiving and Christmas. The largest gaps between the highest win probability and the second highest of all the weeks are, I believe, week 9
Cleve,
with Baltimore.
I got to run, but thank you for that so much, man. Appreciate it.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget to check out the old website, VSiN.com. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, betting guides. It's all there. Front page, Zach Cohen on the Bills and the Dolphins, week 2 in the National Football League. By the way, Mostert out. A-Chan, a game time decision in that one for the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. Michael Lombardi, why the Colts can't win. Oh, Kelly Bidlin doesn't like that one. Maybe you should read that one, Kelly.
I will. I bet you it's about fundamentals in their quarterback or something.
Zach Cohen on the Heisman Trophy race. Adam Burke, week 3 college football power ratings. It's all there. VSiN.com. Check it out. We get tweets at Beating the Book, by the way. Have I mentioned that before? Best listeners in the game. Always appreciate it. This is from Jesse Welch. She said, I saw a tab on DraftKings today for a sport named sand soccer. That's sand soccer. He says, I'd honestly watch that over the debate. Just need to learn what that sport is.
Sounds like soccer at the beach, which is sounds exhausting.
Dom Corleone 28, Kyle D says, I'm sorry. If this falls under overreaction, but Hodge was correct about Manziel and he's correct about Caleb. Never played an SEC or Big Ten team or in a major playoff bowl game. The Titans D made him look, to quote Merrill Hodge, quote unquote, nothing special. Kevin Ryan Gill, talking about his last tweet, was about the red zone. I don't know. I forgot already what that last tweet was. I'm sorry. But he says, but ANG is still exhilarating and awesome. Well, thank you so much. Appreciate that. Nevada Azer talking about Mark Bork tribute recollection of 9/11 here now. 23 years later, he said, hey, Gil, 9/11, always an uneasy time for us who have had friends and family affected by it. As for the debate, it's unfortunate that we have such poor choices. Maybe one day we'll actually get the best that the country can offer. I have a friend, Kelly, who was working in the second tower, first to get hit on 9/11, second tower to fall. So he actually escaped.
Jeez. Those stories are incredible.
It was 3 years before he would talk to me about the story.
Hey.
But the story was basically they were kind of nonchalant. They didn't know what was happening. Plane obviously hit above. And went down sort of quietly down the stairwell when they finally decided to go. And then as they approached the bottom, it got more frenetic. And when the doors to the lobby opened, there was a New York Fire Department member who he said, he'll never forget the face. And he says, run as fast as you can. Don't look back.
God.
And there is CNN footage of my buddy out on the streets of New York running, sprinting towards the camera and past the camera. And we have a screenshot of it. And it's the stories are just.
Yeah.
That's just
wild.
I get chills telling that story. Yeah, my buddy Jeff, who went to Georgetown and worked in the World Trade Center that day. Numbers guys, continuing with this again, no artful way to go from that. Numbers guy said Spore was 4 of 5 yesterday, not 6 of 6. Were we on the show yesterday?
I thank you.
Were we here?
I was gonna say it.
This is a numbers game, right, with Paul Spore? Like, I don't remember.
You always ask him about DFS. Yeah. He gave out 5 sides in Major League Baseball yesterday.
Kelly's supposed to put them on the...
They weren't on VSiN.com. I know that.
Ice Cold Gambler. Kelly should talk trash to Gil today about his chest hair shirt.
Oh, yeah, hey. Yeah. Come on. What's going on there,
listen,
guy?
Listen, I just want
to... This is a professional TV show. Come on.
I want to point this out. I have no chest hair. The issue with Kelly's shirt yesterday is that Kelly has pronounced chest hair, and his blonde curly chest hair came over the top, and so it was in my face. That was the problem.
It's a man's chest right there, Gil.
All right. Ice Cold Gambler saying you could talk trash to me. This man always has pronounced chest hair. It's from under a cloud of smoke in Southern California. You can follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, it's Jason Weingarten, everybody. How you doing, Jason?
Good. How's it going?
Going very well. Jason, let me ask you a question. I know you're Mr. Jackson Merrill. You called this well ahead of time. Are you a little worried about Skeens winning this?
No, because it doesn't change my life one way or the other. I'll win $29,000, $30,000 if he wins. I'll win a little bit on Skeens if he wins. I'm going to have a good baseball season either way. Chris Sale winning is kind of more important to me. And in my mind, both guys have already done all they can do. Like I've said so many times before, I don't understand why Paul Skeens striking out 8 Marlins, on an already eliminated Marlins team changes the calculus at all. Either you already believe Merrill's the Rookie of the Year or you don't. If Paul Skeens still needs to show you something, I think we just have different methods of thinking through this. And it doesn't mean you're wrong, and it doesn't mean Paul Skeens is bad either. Like I've said, Skeens is obviously going to be a Cy Young contender next year. He might go wire to wire. And, to say he's not a great player, a great pitcher is incorrect. But no, it won't really bother me that much at all. Like,
let me rephrase that question. Are you a little worried that
I got a question. So Jason, did you end up betting a future of any kind on Skeens, or have you just been still betting him betting that pirate side basically every day he takes the
both bet? I've already made money on betting Skeens the last couple starts. I have a little bit on some Skeens futures. I mean, he got up to 7.5, 8.5 to 1. I mean, you have to take that. If you think like I do, where I said it's probably like 80-20, then if you're getting 7.5 to 1 on something he thinks 80-20, I think you have a good bet.
All right. But Jason, let me just ask it without the I get all the you're going to be fine no matter what. I understand that. But I just want to if let's say you had no bets on this. Right. Let's say you had no bets on this. And let's say you were completely agnostic and you're like, OK, if the vote was held today, just instinct, what do you think? Do you think it's going to be super close? Because my instinct is it's going to be unbelievably close.
Yeah, I'd probably say you're going to have more than a handful of voters who think Skeens deserves it. And like I said, they're not incorrect. It's just like I've tried to hammer home at the end of the day, it's Rookie of the Year, not Rookie of who's been the best player since Paul Skeens got called up. The award is for performance over the entire year. I think we confuse this as the award for the best new player, whereas it's an award for performance or production, not pedigree. And Jaxson Merrill has, you know, been the starting center fielder since day one. And to me, that's more valuable than a pitcher who hasn't pitched a meaningful game in a month.
Okay. What did you land on in baseball today?
Got a couple bets. It's basically that time of the year. Like, you know, you call it the brain dead parlay season. I bet the Guardians -224. I bet the Twins -192 against the loser Angels, who either got eliminated last night or get eliminated today. So congratulations. Another year of being giant losers for the Angels organization. Wow. Really grabbed themselves on the back. And then I bet the Tigers -183 against the perennial loser Colorado Rockies, also eliminated. And I bet the Mets -119 in a day game against Blue Jays. So four bets for me. I did round robin the three big AL Central favorites just for my own entertainment today.
Your own entertainment today. All right, let's push this ahead, because we're less than 3 weeks to the postseason, man. This
thank
is
ha- God. I can't wait for the 10.
Oh, thank goodness. I'm right with you. We don't know who's going to be the third and final spot in the National League. Maybe we don't even know the second and third, but we certainly don't know who the third spot is going to be, the third wild card spot, I should say, the sixth overall in terms of the teams. But right now, what is your instinct in terms of the proverbial teams you do not want to face in this tournament?
Teams I don't want to face. You know, the Brewers, I've watched a lot of Brewers the last month or so, and they play a lot of competitive games. Padres, I can see the Padres being a problem. You know, I still think the Padres get in. It comes down to that last spot in the NL. What do you think? What do you think happens there?
I got the Braves to miss at 8-1, and I know a lot of people have it even better than me at better odds. So I'm hoping that, but the Mets schedule is really difficult the rest of the way.
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning towards the Braves losing that last spot, even though I've been saying all season, I want Chris Sale to win the strikeout title. I want him to be the Cy Young, but I also prefer the Braves miss the playoffs. So I'm kind of leaning that's the way it's going to happen.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead,
Jim. I just want to mention, I also bet the Cubs tonight to finish their sweep of the Dodgers. I bet the Cubs the last two nights. I was at the game yesterday. It was the first Dodger game of the season, actually.
Oh, nice.
I'm on the Cubs for the third time in 3 days today.
I hope you're right, because I got to get the Cubs over as well as that Padres over cashing for the season wins. Okay. This really was the year to take exactas, wasn't it? Is this the most wide open? I'm not asking you to be prisoner of the moment, but maybe I am to a certain degree. Do you feel like this is the most wide open playoffs you can ever remember heading into it?
I think with the pitching injuries to teams like the Dodgers, that anything can happen when you get into a wild card game or a series. Not that I think Dodgers are going to end up as a wild card, but you know, things can turn really fast if you lose the first game of a 5-game series. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting playoff year. I'm really excited for it, actually.
Can't wait. Me too.
It's going to be good. Can't wait for the regular season to end.
I think we all are. Jason Weingarten, everybody, at Spreadopedia. Appreciate it, Jason. Thank you so much, man, from under a cloud of smoke. We'll come back. Our smooth play of the week, Kelly.
Right.
Our Larceny Bourbon smooth bet of the week on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, don't forget, after this show, stay tuned to VSiN after A Numbers Game for Money Moves with Stormy Bonatoni and Matt Brown. Hey, we know that guy.
Whoa, who let him back in here?
Noon Eastern. Then stick around, Prop Points with John Hansen starting at 2 p.m., followed by Make It Rain with Adam Schein from 3 to 4 p.m. Check it all out right here at VSiN. We get tweets at Beatty the Book. Drew from Boise. So you pronounce it, by the way, Kelly. Boise.
Boise?
Gilly Kelly. Jim Harbaugh is the ultimate bully. His USD, Stanford 49ers, and Michigan teams do not lose to bad teams. In an even fight, his conservatism can hurt, but not otherwise. So there's a nod towards Harbaugh in this game against the Panthers.
Does that mean he covers, though, Drew, from
Boise?
Yeah, I agree with all that, uh-huh. but I just don't know if he has the talent on the team.
Chris Jason, under a cloud of smoke, applies to us here in Vegas today. It does, indeed. Statlogic.
Is that what it is, smoke? Did we figure that out?
It feels like that to me.
Okay.
Yeah. You're the weatherman here.
I have Google right in front of me.
Statlogic Sports. I 100% know Cleve is smarter than me about most of this stuff, but Daniels, talking about Jaden Daniels, for the Skins, had 2.3 seconds to throw, lowest in the league. He really didn't have time, and him taking off is much better than getting pummeled like Howell did all last year. My two cents.
Yeah, we got California fires just blowing over here, man.
Jason H. 11, Gilly, is it a coincidence that you are noticeably further away from the Thunder from Down Under's newest star a day after a day after Shirtgate? It is no coincidence. Because that thing almost hit me. Oh, no, I don't like this tweet. Los Vegas 514. He said, yo, RIP to the great Frankie Beverly. Oh, man. You familiar with Frankie Beverly? Maze featuring Frankie Beverly?
I was going to say,
I know the name.
I know the name.
That's mighty white of you, by the way. RIP to Frankie Beverly.
Yeah, passed away 77.
Okay, and let's see. This is from Just to Follow Vison. According to my numbers, Spora was 56 out of 57 yesterday. He said, I didn't keep any actual data on it, but that feels right. For real, though, he gave out DFS plays and strategy. I don't remember a side at all.
Okay, thank you.
That's our memory also. Yes,
that is the segment I remember.
So it's like people were taking his DFS plays and like, oh, he's 6 for 6 or something like that. Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe that's what it was.
Maybe that's what it was. Let's see.
I just talked to Brian Ortega.
Oh,
I asked him who's going to win the Academy Award for Best Picture.
How many times did you ask him?
He said Sing Sing. That's what he said.
What did he say?
He said Sing Sing is going to win it.
He also said Dune 2, though.
No, he said Dune 2. I just want to see if Ortega burst through the window or anything right now when I misquoted him.
The joke was that every time he was about to leave, we kept asking him and he had to turn around.
We love you, Ortega.
We do. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the smooth bet of the week presented by Larceny Wheated Bourbon. That's Wheated Bourbon. Wheated Bourbon locking a win and seize tonight. Bardstown, Kentucky, 46% alcohol by volume. Think wisely, drink wisely. It's Larceny Bourbon.
Boom.
Ready for the smooth bet of the week?
Let's go, man. We match again. I don't know how often this is. I think sometimes it's just going to be just Gil, but as long as we're matching on bets, we're going to keep it right.
Just Gil.
Yeah. They care about you, not me. Nobody cares about me.
Oh, we care deeply.
Nobody cares.
Deeply.
So Ravens.
Ravens. Yeah, I'll just say it again. Ravens, I bet it -9.5. I didn't want to get this. I didn't want to let it get to 10. I just feel like this is a game where the Ravens go nuts on the Raiders. I thought the Raiders probably should have won that game. I don't want to say they should have won it against the Chargers. The Chargers are terrible, and somehow the Raiders managed to lose because Antonio Pierce made not one, not two, but three very strange coaching decisions. It was the 4th-and-1 where he punted. It was the 4th-and-1 where he kicked a field goal prior to that. It was using timeouts early. It just never ended with him.
Yeah.
And I just feel like John Harbaugh at home, this is that home game that Baltimore destroys. It was like 38-10 feels about right.
I'm with you. I mean, for the believers in the trend that I don't know we've really seen play out all that much over the years, it is also that the West Coast team having to travel east early, right? So you've got that going as well. It just feels like such a perfect spot for the Ravens to get back on track for the season. And like you said, I just don't know what you saw out of the Raiders week one to really have you. I mean, they were playing against a Chargers team that I do not have rated very highly, and they got dominated by that Chargers front. You're giving extra time the Ravens to get prepared after that loss to the Chiefs. I'm with you. I think I bet it at 8. And I know we're not supposed to say things like this very often, but I'm with you. I think it's such a runaway that a 9.5 I'd be perfectly fine with. I'll probably be playing a couple alts even on the Ravens up to 13.5, something like that.
It should be noted, we probably should have started. We did hit our Larceny smooth bet of the week last week.
By the hook.
By the hook.
Every half point matters.
On the Cardinals against the Bills. So we're looking to go 2-0. 2-0 on our Larceny Bourbon smooth bet of the week. In order to have a nightcap, you need to have a night first. Make good on some bets, then pour some smoothness into your glass with Larceny Wheated Bourbon. Whether you're making a paper plane out of your parlay ticket or celebrating a big payout with a classic Kentucky Mule, Larceny has all the flavor you need to craft cocktails so tasty they'll have you toasting victory like a high roller. You're in charge, so lock in the call. Find a bottle near you at LarcenyBourbon.com and seize tonight. A numbers game brought to you by Larceny Bourbon, Bardstown, Kentucky, 46% alcohol by volume. Think wisely, drink wisely.
I don't know why I needed to test it, nothing actually in this barrel, just so everybody knows.
That barrel is sweet.
I was thinking about taking it home with me if there was something in there, but...
Very nice. Yeah. Very nice. All right, so what did we learn about Kelly Bidlin today? He watches debates. Have you made a bet on the election, by the way?
I have not.
Okay. I have some Kamala plus 150s that I made right when President Biden stepped down.
It's a big night for her, though. I think that odds move makes sense.
And again, people shouldn't read into me betting her as anything, but I think it's going to win. It's not a political comment. It's just that I think she's going to win in the end. I will say this. I thought former President Trump looked outstanding last night.
You know what?
He looked lovely.
I wasn't on Twitter much. I can't handle Twitter on nights like that. Ridiculous. But I thought the same thing. I was like, when did he get like eight years younger? He looked thinner.
The Ozempic really kicked in.
He looked thinner.
I will even say this. His hair looked good. His hair looked good.
I thought it was from head to toe. I thought he looked younger. I thought he looked skinnier. The hair looked better.
Head to toe,
man.
Kelly, in keeping with his theme this week, really thought he looked good head to toe, it should be pointed out. So anyway, again, if you missed the odds move on that, Vice President Harris now just a slight favorite after being a slight dog in the race prior to last night's debate. The other thing that I sort of want to point out about NFL week two here, that it's funny with guessing lines. So we do guessing lines on Monday. I don't know the lines. You give them to me. We go through the whole process of it. And within that, we're trying to look for value. And one of the things is I immediately will bet conviction on pretty much all of the ones that I think there's value on. But with that Giants-Washington game, I want to seize on that because that was the one where I was like, why is Washington less than a 3-point favorite? And then I just didn't feel right about people will notice. Keen observers will notice. That's the one I didn't bet after my guessing lines reaction.
Well, you had a few games where you were a couple points off, but it's understandable. When Chargers, you were off too.
Well, that
one, but who's running to bet the Panthers?
No, that was clearly the one where it was a big chunk of value. And I'm like, how can the I couldn't believe when you said that.
I think Giants Commanders is the same type of way. Like these are two not good teams.
No, yeah, but that was the problem. It's like it wasn't quite the same because it wasn't like 3 points like that game.
Fine,
but
you can back away from your statement. I'll still say I don't know why this is less than three. I'm not running to lay it with the Commanders, I don't get it.
I'm just saying this went down to 1.5. I still think the Commanders are probably the better football team, but man.
Okay, so what? The Commanders' defense and especially their secondary is really terrible. We think Daniel Jones is going to absolutely carve up the Commanders. That's the handicap here?
We do not.
I'm like, yeah, sure. You want to bet neighbors over props? Go ahead. I think that could make sense, but
it may be my fifth millions pick. Let's put it that way.
Really?
It feels like my fifth. Right,
not, I don't know why. I don't know why I'm doing the really, because until you actually do, like, write down your five picks, it's always, like we always say, that fourth, fifth pick, tough to come up with.
And again, my real concern is everything's a favorite. I don't have one dog this week.
All I bet is favorites.
So that feels to me like I'm overreacting. But then I go back to what my analysis was and I'm like, no, that's exactly what I think it is.
I think it's okay. Like, I've got a lot of favorites bets this week. I actually never hit my week two bets at the top if we want to hit those quick. I bet all favorites in an over. That's where I'm at this week. I did. So I laid the three with the Seahawks. That was a look ahead line though. I think there is Gil can't do it because he's got to do guessing lines. I do think there's some value on some of these look ahead lines. I was listening to Drew and Andy talk about this yesterday. Like, I hit the Seahawks last week for this week. Now, that doesn't look quite as good right now. You could get basically the same number, but that was before a Patriots win. So I hit that Seahawks -3. I know Drew and Andy were talking about the Texans, though. Look ahead was like 4.5 or 5 this week against the Bears. And I was like, oh man, I wish I had that, because I just laid the 6.5 with the Texans in that game. I laid 8 with the Ravens early, also early bet on the opener. It was a Ravens tease, Cardinals teased up. That was right as they opened. Cardinals are now a favorite in that game, so not really much you can do there. And then the one I did add this morning, Bengals Chiefs over. Heard a couple people talking about this, but you're talking about the same total, basically the same total posted for the Ravens and the Chiefs. And while I know we've had some struggles from Burrow, that defense ain't all that great. And if the Bengals often could play a little bit better, I think that total's a little short.
Seahawks over the Rams, huh? -3.
Seahawks over the Patriots.
Over the Patriots.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm on the wrong week. I'm sorry. Yeah. I was like, over the Patriots, pardon me. Yes, on the road there. Look ahead for Kelly. We've done all we can do. Stormy is next with Matt Brown. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.